Tractate 14 John 3. 29-36. Part 2. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that testifieth he, and his testimony no man receiveth. If no man, to what purpose came he? He means, no man of a certain class. There are some people prepared for the wrath of God, to be damned with the devil, of these, none receiveth the testimony of Christ. For if none at all, not any man, received, what could these words mean, but he that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true? Not certainly, then, no man, if thou sayest thyself, he that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Perhaps John, on being questioned, would answer and say, I know what I have said, in saying no man. There are, in fact, people born to God's wrath, and they are unto foreknown. For God knows who they are that will and that will not believe, he knows who they are that shall persevere in that in which they have believed, and who that shall fall away, and all that shall be for eternal life are numbered by God, and he knows already the people set apart. And if he knows this, and has given to the prophets by his Spirit to know it, he gave this also to John. Now John was observing, not with his eye, for as regards himself he is earth, and speaketh of earth, but with that grace of the Spirit which he received of God, he saw a certain people, ungodly, unbelieving. Contemplating that people in its unbelief, he says, his testimony, who came from heaven, no man receiveth. No man of whom? Of them who shall be on the left hand, of them to whom it shall be said, go into the everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Who are they that do receive it? They who shall be at the right hand, they to whom it shall be said, come, you blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom which is prepared for you from the beginning of the world. He observes, then, in the spirit a dividing, but in the human race a mingling together, and that which is not yet separated locally, he separated in the understanding, in the view of the heart, and he saw two peoples, one of believers, one of unbelievers. Fixing his thought on the unbelievers, he says, he that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He then turned his thought from the left hand, and looked at the right, and proceeded to say, he that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. What means has set to his seal that God is true, if it be not that man is a liar, and God is true? For no human being can speak any truth, unless he be enlightened by him who cannot lie. God, then, is true, but Christ is God. Wouldest thou prove this? Receive his testimony and thou findest it? For he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Who is true? The same who came from heaven, and is above all, is God, and true. But if thou dost not yet understand him to be God, thou hast not yet received his testimony, receive it, and thou puttest thy seal to it, confidently thou understandest, definitely thou acknowledgest, that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Himself is the true God, and God sent him, God sent God. Join both, one God, true God sent by God. Ask concerning them singly, he is God, ask concerning them both, they are God. Not individually God, and both gods, but each individual God, and both God. For so great is the charity of the Holy Spirit there, so great the peace of unity, that when thou questionest about them individually, the answer to thee is, God. When thou askest concerning the Trinity, thou gettest for answer, God. For if the spirit of man, when it cleaves to God, is one spirit, as the Apostle openly declares, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, How much more is the equal Son, joined to the Father, together with him one God? Hear another testimony. You know how many believed, when they sold all they had and laid it at the apostles' feet, that it might be distributed to each according to his need, and what saith the scripture of that gathering of the saints? They had one soul and one heart in the Lord. If charity made one soul of so many souls, and one heart of so many hearts, how great must be the charity between the Father and the Son? Surely it must be greater than that between those men who had one heart. If, then, the heart of many brethren was won by charity, if the soul of many brethren was won by charity, wouldst thou say that God the Father and God the Son are two? If they are two gods, there is not the highest charity between them. For if charity is here so great as to make thy soul and thy friend's soul one soul, how can it be then that the Father and the Son is not one God? Far be unfeigned faith from this thought. In short, how excellent that charity is, understand hence, the souls of many men are many, and if they love one another, it is one soul, still, in the case of men, they may be called many souls, because the union is not so strong. But there it is right for thee to say one God, two or three gods it is not right for thee to say. From this, the supreme and surpassing excellency of charity is shown thee to be such, that a greater cannot be. 0. For he whom God hath sent speak the words of God. This, of course, he said of Christ, to distinguish himself from Christ. What then? Did not God send John himself? Did he not say himself, I am sent before him? And, he that sent me to baptize with water? And is it not of John that it is said, Behold, I send my messenger before thee, and he shall prepare thy way? Does he not himself speak the words of God, he of whom it is said that he is more than a prophet? Then, if God sent him too, and he speaks the words of God, how do we understand him to have distinctly said of Christ, He whom God hath sent speak the words of God? But see what he adds, For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. What is this, For God giveth not the Spirit by measure? We find that God does give the Spirit by measure. Hear the Apostle when he says, According to the measure of the gift of Christ 0. To men he gives by measure, to the only Son he gives not by measure. How does he give to men by measure? To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of wisdom according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the gift of healing. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? This man has one gift, that man another, and what that man has, this has not, there is a measure, a certain division of gifts. To men, therefore, it is given by measure, and concord among them makes one body. As the hand receives one kind of gift to work, the eye another to see, the ear another to hear, the foot another to walk, nevertheless the soul that does all is one, in the hand to work, in the foot to walk, in the ear to hear, in the eye to see, so are also the gifts of believers diverse, distributed to them as to members, to each according to his proper measure. But Christ, who gives, receives not by measure. Now hear further what follows, because he had said of the Son, For God giveth not the Spirit by measure, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand, he added, hath given all things into his hands, that thou mightest know also here with what distinction it is said, the Father loveth the Son. And why? Does the Father not love John? And yet he has not given all things into his hand. Does the Father not love Paul? And yet he has not given all things into his hand. The Father loveth the Son, but as Father loveth, not as Master loveth a servant, as the only Son, not as an adopted son. And so hath given all things into his hand. What means all things? That the Son should be such as the Father is. To equality with himself he begot him in whom it was no robbery to be in the form of God, equal to God. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Therefore, having deigned to send us the Son, let us not imagine that it is something less than the Father that is sent to us. The Father, in sending the Son, sent his other self. But the disciples, still thinking that the Father is something greater than the Son, seeing only the flesh, and not understanding his divinity, said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. As much as to say, we know thee already, and bless thee that we know thee, for we thank thee that thou hast shown thyself to us. But as yet we know not the Father, therefore our heart is inflamed, and occupied with a certain holy longing of seeing thy Father who sent thee. Show us him, and we shall desire nothing more of thee, for it sufficeth us when he has been shown, than whom none can be greater. A good longing, a good desire, but small intelligence. Now the Lord Jesus himself, regarding them as small men seeking great things, and himself great among the small, and yet small among the small, says to Philip, one of the disciples, who had said this, Am I so long time with you, and you have not known me, Philip? Here Philip might have answered, Thee we have known, but did we say to thee, Show us thyself? We have known thee, but it is the Father we seek to know. He immediately adds, He that hath seen me, hath seen the Father also. If, then, one equal with the Father has been sent, let us not estimate him from the weakness of the flesh, but think of the majesty clothed in flesh, but not weighed down by the flesh. For, remaining God with the Father, he was made man among men, that, through him who was made man, thou mightest become such as to receive God. For man could not receive God. Man could see man, God he could not apprehend. Why could he not apprehend God? Because he had not the eye of the heart, by which to apprehend him. There was something within disordered, something without sound. Man had the eyes of the body sound, but the eyes of the heart sick. He was made man to the eye of the body, so that, believing on him who could be seen in bodily form, thou mightst be healed for seeing him whom thou wast not able to see spiritually. Am I so long time with you, and you know me not, Philip? He that hath seen me, hath seen the Father also. Why did they not see him? Lo, they did see him, and yet saw not the Father, they saw the flesh, but the majesty was concealed. What the disciples who loved him saw, saw also the Jews who crucified him. Inwardly, then, was he all, and in such manner inwardly in the flesh, that he remained with the Father when he came to the flesh. Carnal thought does not apprehend what I say, let it defer understanding, and begin by faith. Let it hear what follows, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He has not said, The wrath of God cometh to him, but, The wrath of God abideth on him. All that are born mortals have the wrath of God with them. What wrath of God? That wrath which Adam first received. For if the first man sinned, and heard the sentence, Thou shalt die the death, he became mortal, and we began to be born mortal, and we have been born with the wrath of God. From this stock came the Son, not having sin, and he was clothed with flesh and mortality. If he partook with us of the wrath of God, are we slow to partake with him the grace of God? He, then, that will not believe the Son, on the same the wrath of God abideth. What wrath of God? That of which the Apostle says, We also were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. All are therefore children of wrath, because coming of the curse of death. Believe on Christ, for thee made mortal, that thou mayest receive him, the immortal, and when thou shalt have received his immortality, thou shalt no longer be mortal. He lived, thou wast dead, he died that thou shouldst live. He has brought us the grace of God, and has taken away the wrath of God. God has conquered death, lest death should conquer man.